Shalom, salam. East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, all over the world, and especially in the Middle East. Yes, an alleged ceasefire has been brokered, but the peace has not come. So I'm dedicating this show again to justice, peace, compassion, and life in Israel and Palestine. Salam, shalom, and hope. It is Arts Live and Local from the parking lot. It's not a blue sky today. It's not raining either, just fine. And I want to give some thank yous to some folks to all of you who supported and continue to support KMUN through the years, and especially this past pledge drive, and especially for this show, Gail and Russell in Yakima, Jack and Astoria, Betty, I suspect, O.P., Ocean Park, Terry in Astoria, Carol, and Sydney and Robin in Squamish, Kathy in Warrenton, Pam in Seaside, Marilyn in Gearhart, Rebecca in Astoria, Lisa and suspiciously Harry in Long Beach, and Andrea in Astoria, and all others of you who made your pledges at various times. It all goes to the same place to keep this wonderful radio station alive and well, our community radio station, a real miracle. Sending out healing wishes again to all everywhere in the world who are suffering body, spirit, mind, heart. And in my life, Sue, Z, Rosie, Jan, N, Earl, and Eva, Mumia, and all prisoners of all kinds. And to Janique Armstrong and her family and the family of her husband, who was killed in Mozambique. Yeah. So, it's time for us to celebrate. By the way, that was David Broza with East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem. You can find him easily on the web. And you can find art everywhere in this area. I just made a quick stop on my way here at the Astoria Visual Arts Gallery because it's open only on Friday through Sunday. I ran into the fabulous Rita, and beautiful work by three high schools' arts projects. There's some gorgeous stuff there, folks. I highly recommend you get over there. Needless to say, it's a bargain, but most of all, it's some beautiful stuff, whether or not you decide to purchase anything. I think you'll feel really good about our kids. That's right on 10th and Duane. And speaking of students, my first guests are here to talk about Clatsop of Community College students. It is the annual Art Student Show. And here to tell us about it is Kristen Schock. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Carol.
So glad you're back with me.
Thank you.
So glad the art keeps happening at the Royal Neberkirk Gallery. And Kristen is the art professor at Clatsop Community College in design, painting, drawing, and you told me art appreciation, is that right?
Art history.
Art history. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, which I guess hopefully it will be appreciated as well. And our second guest, whom I haven't met yet, is Deanna Antony. Hello, Deanna.
Hello.
Am I saying your name correctly?
You are.
Good. Okay. Have you been on KMUN before?
No, I haven't. This is my first time.
Okay, folks. And you're going to be my first person to out on our telephone radio arts programs. Deanna is our newest KMUN virgin. So congratulations and thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let Kristen introduce you, but I will just say the reason Deanna is here, and where are you actually located?
I'm here in Astoria as well.
And you live here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Okay, then I will be meeting you at some point. And Deanna has been the jurist for this student art show. So, Kristen, why don't you tell us a little bit about Deanna?
Okay, well,
She was chosen to be the jury.
Well, Deanna actually is the current artist in residence at AVA.
Aha.
So I connected with her since I'm on the board there, and I invited her to come up and jury the show this year. It's been fantastic. She was part of our faculty show. We called it our Faculty Plus show.
Yes.
And she had one of her wonderful soft sculptures there in front of the Modu mural that I hope to touch on a little bit today in the workshop that he did.
Yes.
He was also part of our faculty show that was exhibited prior to the student show that just went up this weekend.
Well, maybe before we get to the student show then, since I've already just spoken of the AVA, Deanna, why don't you tell us about yourself, who you are, and what you're doing with the Artist in Residence project?
Yeah, so I moved here last summer after graduating from UW-Wisconsin, kind of by happenstance. My sister's husband got a job opportunity out here, and she invited me to move along with her and her family. And then when I got here, I started looking into connecting and finding the art community here and learned of the Artist in Residency program and submitted a proposal and found myself here in Astoria with the art studio, and been just throughout this time. So since November, I've had the residency and have been so really kind of unpacking like my grad school experience and work, my MFA thesis work, and kind of seeing kind of where that now kind of unfolds and continues to grow.
So what is your art focus or genre?
Yeah, so I make soft sculpture out of found fabric. So I use clothing that I find at thrift stores or discarded clothing of my own. And then I developed this sewing process while in grad school of merging these fabrics together while still leaving some of the integrity of the original garment present.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes this kind of like dialogue with these garments and what I'm doing to them. And then I stuff them into form, and they create these kind of humanoid-like, biomorphic, organic forms that play with color and texture in a really nice way.
Yeah, I think I've seen pictures of them, actually. I didn't realize. My computer is a bit on the fritz right now, so I was unable to make the connections today. But I think I've seen photos of some of your work.
Oh, great.
So what, is that a coursework at school? Is someone teaching you to do that, or did you come up with this on your own, or it's kind of unusual?
Yeah, this was definitely something I came to when I got to grad school, I entered the program with these paintings. I entered with paintings, two-dimensional work. I built these shaped canvases, and then I'd do this hard-edge, color-driven process on the surface of the canvas, and then I'd cut the canvas away to reveal the form of the stretcher. Mm-hmm. So it was always kind of dissecting the history of painting a bit, you know, dissecting the form of canvas, revealing the history of the shape of the form, revealing its objectness on the wall as a, you know, as a piece of work on the wall. And then in grad school, I started exploring all these materials of my past. So I never thought I'd have the opportunity to go to school. I started college when I was 28, and I had this whole decade of making that I was unpacking as kind of an outsider artist, but not really realizing that's what I was. I always just had this compulsion to make, and accessibility to materials, would use what was available.
Right.
And a lot of times that was what was at thrift stores, or I lived in cities a lot, so a lot of people threw things away a lot when they moved, and you could find things rummaging around, and I always saw the potential in things.
Wonderful. You're doing a real service, too. I think I have some things for you.
Oh, good. That's wonderful.
That will be terrific. Were you the kind of kid who took things apart as a small child as well? Or, I mean, in your family's home? Or when you said outsider art, you didn't consider yourself an artist?
No, you know, I really didn't. I remember, like, making a lot of doll clothes when I was younger, like, playing around, setting things up. I always liked to stage things. But when it came time to actually, like, play it out, it was like, oh, I was over it. I just liked to set it up. And collecting things and just drawn to things. I'm the oldest of six kids, so there's also this, like, I would get hand-me-downs from church. So, like, we'd get, like, bags of things from people from church and then go through those. So there was always kind of this, like, reuse, or I'd wear my dad's shirt. Things like that.
Yeah, it sounds very organic.
And then thrifting in high school, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And you came to Astoria just because you were invited to join your sister. And what do you think?
I love it. It's so beautiful. I'm amazed all the time that I kind of just ended up here. I originally, you know, first arrived in Seaside. And just the beauty of everything. And it's funny, someone in my cohort is an Oregonian. His studio is right next door to mine. And, you know, got to know his work. His name is Abram. And just being here now, it's like I understand there's like an Oregonian culture that is embedded in his work. And it's just so nice to see. And my mom was born here. So being here and seeing these flowers, and there's just certain imagery that she paints. And
full circle.
So it just makes me understand her a lot more now, too.
Beautiful.
It's just amazing to be here.
Okay. So now Kristen asks you to jury the student show. Have you done that kind of thing before?
No, this is the first time. I've curated group shows together before. And I've been on the other side of the student show in undergrad. So it's just such an honor to be selected to do this. And
well, how does it work? Because you have three high schools worth of students. Did everybody in all the classes get in, or how did this come about?
Well, is that a question for me or for Deanna? Because it sort of happened kind of organically. We have had a few less students enroll in the classes due to the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
We had a few less submissions. So, Deanna, do you want to tell her what we decided? Actually, it came from Deanna.
Well, you know, just looking at the work that was submitted for the show, everything made it into the show this year, just with the amount submitted and mm-hmm. thinking about the work together. It all really kind of flowed well together as a group.
I saw, before my computer completely shut me down, shut me out, I saw comments. Did you write comments about the winners in the show?
I did, yeah.
Those were great.
Something that was that really impacted, you know, when I was an undergrad and in the student art show, the juror wrote a bit about everyone who placed. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was important to say, because, you know, each piece that I did place, there was a kind of meaningful reason behind why it kind of grabbed me or caught my attention or made me want to spend more time with it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the show for sure. I'm not going to miss this one. But also, I'm interested in seeing your comments, because the little bit I read, it really, it felt good. And I thought, how lovely. I haven't seen that before. And so how lovely for the artist to receive that kind of feedback from someone who's a little bit ahead in her journey. So good for you for doing that. Yeah. Well, so Kristen, tell us, what is in this show? We'll give you a chance to say a few words.
Okay. We have artwork submitted from most all the classes that we offer here. Of course, we offer drawing and painting and design, which are the courses that I teach. And then Richard Rowland's ceramics classes, we have a huge amount, actually, quite a lot of beautiful ceramics in the show this year. We have one piece submitted from the photography class, which did place, by the way. So and also from the printmaking class, there's several prints from the printmaking class.
Okay. And is that, who is teaching the printmaking?
Well, right now, this term, we're not offering it, but it will be running again in the fall, and Ben will be teaching it again. Ben Rosenberg.
Okay. And Richard Rowland in ceramics, and you in design, painting, and drawing. And then photographer?
David Homer.
David Homer.
He's the photography class. He's also our lead gallery assistant, so he's the one that installed the show, and he adjusted the lights and all that, an enormous amount of work. We're so grateful for the work that he does.
So does Lucian teach at this point as well? Or
yes.
No, he does.
He teaches graphic design in the art department, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it sounds like it's a very rich show, and it went up yesterday, is that right? Last night?
We installed it over the weekend, so it's been up. We still have to put the tags up and the juror's statement up that, which, by the way, we have a press release that's going to be going out on Monday that will also have a list of all the award winners and Deanna's beautiful statements about the work.
Nice. So, and tell us when people can visit the college.
Well, the show is open to the public, and our hours are officially 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Okay. So if anyone wants to come on the weekend, they can contact me, and we can make arrangements.
And how do they contact you?
They can email me at kshauck, that's K-S-H-A-U-C-K, at clatsupcc.edu, or call my office number at 503-338-2472.
Okay. Great. Otherwise, Monday through Friday, 10 to 4. And are most of the works for sale?
Well, it's kind of a split. I think these things aren't quite ready to part with their pieces for whatever reason. But I would say at least half the work is for sale. And there's some great prices. Things are being snagged. So you might want to come up sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
There is some beautiful work to choose from.
Yeah. I've experienced that show and would love to see, although I am on an art diet, I have said that, but still there are some things. Wonderful. Now, Kristen, you mentioned that Modou Dieng, from Senegal, had the workshop. Was that a Zoom workshop?
No, it was in person. He came in from Chicago. He's based in Chicago now.
I see. Okay.
He also taught at PNCA, but he's based in Chicago now, and he came in on May 7th. We didn't publicize it because it was limited, and it filled up with our own students plus just one community member. Mm-hmm. But we had 9 students participating, and we had a fantastic mixed media workshop. He described it as a dialogue between drawing and painting. And there's at least, I think it was 3 or 4 pieces from that workshop made it into the show.
Would you say, Anna?
Was it like three or four pieces from the workshop and a couple of them placed?
Wow, fantastic. Now, for people who haven't been following what's going on at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery, why don't you tell us who he is and what that extraordinary mural is that's hanging in the gallery?
Well, it's not hanging there anymore. It was up for 2 shows. It was up since February when we installed it, or early March.
I saw it when the boxes were there.
It was up during our box fundraiser for the food bank, and then we kept it up through the faculty show. Deanna's fabulous soft sculpture was installed right in front of it. Ooh. They look great together.
I bet. I hope there are some photographs maybe on your website.
There are.
Oh, good.
Right. It's
good.
Been in the press releases that we've sent out, so yes, you can see it.
So, folks, I'm just telling our audience, if you haven't been to the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery, most locals, I think, who are listening to this show have, but you can just drive up 16th Street and take a left. Drive it up, that's south, but up as far as you can go from the downtown area, and then take a left. And right now, I think there's parking even, or there's parking below or above. And make sure to visit, because they've got some wonderful, wonderful stuff going on there. So the students who were able to take this workshop, did you feel that there were some shifts there going on? Did some of them have aha moments?
Well, everyone said they thoroughly enjoyed it, and for some, they're buying different materials like that. So there was a lot of fantastic energy there. Modou was amazing. So, yes, I felt like he brought in a lot of inspiration to our students.
And where did you find him to begin with, to have his piece at the gallery?
Well, you know, that was another AVA connection, because I'm on the board now, and Tim Janchar, who is another board member, was talking about this piece, looking for a venue, and asked if he could display it up here. And, of course, it was like, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's
right.
So exciting. So that was the connection, was through AVA.
Wonderful.
And, yes. And I did want to... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, no, I was just thinking the collaborations that go on in this town. I'm sure Deanna is finding out more and more about that, probably as impressed as the rest of us. So go ahead, Krista.
Well, I was going to say, I wanted to invite everyone. Deanna is going to be working with my basic design students, and we're going to do our Shinrin Yoku event again, June 4th. And so she's going to be helping our students put together a gateway for the hike, and we'll have some artwork installed along the trail that was created with Deanna's inspiration. So we're really excited about that. And we might have a little ceremony for the students as well, since we can't have an indoor reception. We'll do a little presentation outdoors in honor of the student show during the art hike on June 4th.
Okay, so again, give us a little more detail. Where does it start, and what's the time on that? Because you probably won't be back on the air before.
That's right. We probably won't, but we will be holding that down at the trailhead, which is If you're going up to the art building, you just go up 16th, turn left on Lexington, and then you go down to the parking lot below, and there's a lovely little trail there. Some of you might have hiked. It goes up to the column, and so we'll just have a little gathering down there. And I will send out a press release. We haven't settled on an exact time. I'm guessing it'll be early afternoon. It might be 2 o'clock, but I'll confirm that in the press release
okay.
that I send out.
And let's all think no rain. It's easier.
Let's think no rain, but we're going to do it rain or shine.
Okay. You know? Okay. Just wear your good walking shoes. Okay.
Right.
Wonderful. Well, Deanna, it's lovely to meet you. And
lovely to meet you too.
I look forward to meeting you in person and also seeing your work and getting up to the student art show, the Royal Neberkirk Gallery on, I don't know what street that's supposed to be. Is that supposed to be 18th or something in Lex?
I don't know about that. It's just a campus street. I don't think it has a number.
Okay. You just take a left. On Lexington, go as far as you can on 16th and take a left. If you're coming from the other direction, get on Lexington and go east. So, and catch the show 10 to 4 Monday through Friday. And how long does this show run?
Through June 11th.
Okay. Just through 6/11. Don't miss it.
Right.
Some of us have this procrastination issue, and we sometimes miss things, so I highly recommend this. Thanks again to Kristen Schock, the artist everything at Clatsop Community College and director of the Royal Neberkirk Gallery, and Deanna Antony, the jurist for the annual art student show. Thank you both.
Thank you so much, Carol, and for all you do to support the arts.
Thanks.
You're amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kristen. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carol.
You bet. Bye-bye, Deanna.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, folks. Well, the arts are really alive and well in this area. And they're coming out of the boxes, too. That is the computer boxes. I was lucky enough to walk the streets of Astoria during Art Walk this past May, and it was wonderful from 12 to 8, so you really got to be out and about. And we have more coming up, but right now let's hear some music. I think you'll recognize this. And again, this goes out for wishes for peace and justice. Tzedek v'shalom. I hope someday, very, very soon, like today, the world will be as one. Ugh, to dream. But we're all dreaming together. And we're doing more than dreaming. We're speaking out. We're writing. We're calling. We're demanding. Yeah. We need to make a difference. Thank you to Kay Boo for that rendition. And many of you have heard me tell the story. I was driving out of Portland when I heard that on Kay Boo, our sister station, sister community radio station. And I turned around and drove back into town, got to the station, walked in, and said, how can I get a copy? So thank you to Kay Boo. And in case you're not aware, that two languages spoken there. The man was singing in Arabic and the woman in Hebrew. Well, we've got people who sing in many languages in this town, in this region, and some of them learn how, I don't know if they learn how to sing, we're going to find out in a minute, or whether they just sort of polish things, or I'm not really sure. So I have Lisa Nelson, who is the director of the Astoria Conservatory of Music, the premier school of music in the North County. And Lisa is going to tell us what the Astoria Conservatory of Music does for singers. There are lots of other teachers there as well, instrumental, and we'll hear about that too. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, I think it's been a very long time, hasn't it?
It has been a very long time.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to talk with you, and that was a beautiful song you just played. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Ooh, gets me a little choked up, which isn't good for singing, of course, but...
makes it hard, but it's worth it.
Yeah. So, Lisa, I know you from lots of different places, including the North Coast Chorale, but you've been doing the... directing the Astoria Conservatory of Music for quite a while. Did you actually found the organization?
I did. I established the conservatory in 2002.
Okay.
And it began just me giving private voice lessons and piano lessons in a spare room in our apartment, our tiny little apartment on Bond Street.
Wow.
And then we rented some rooms the following year at the First Presbyterian Church. And then in 2008, we moved into our current location, which was the bottom floor of the back building of the First Presbyterian Church at 770 11th Street. So we have that whole floor now.
Right.
And we do teach singing, and we teach the mechanics of singing and also the ability to find your voice, because... personally, and this is my philosophy, everybody has a voice. Just have to learn how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's telling me you take beginners as well as experienced. Do you have an age range that you work with?
Yeah. In terms of just having fun with the voice, kids can absolutely sing. We do a kids choir now, just getting kids the idea of how to match pitch and have fun and sing together. And then individual voice training usually starts, depending on the student, somewhere between the 10s and the 12s. But again, it's the individual student. You've got to listen to them first.
Are you talking age or grade?
Age.
Okay. You just said something which has been a question in my mind for years.
Mm-hmm.
Can you actually teach pitch?
That's an interesting question. I've had so many different voice specialists over the years say, you can't teach it. You can't teach it. It's an action. It's this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like pitch can be refined. Pitch is something that happens in your brain. It's a relationship between your ear and your brain and your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. You repeat it. We do that as babies, but somewhere along the way, that can get confused or that can get easier. It just depends on the person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's something you practice.
Mm-hmm.
But so, if you were to ask me, well, you move your left vocal cord at a 45-degree angle, you'll come up with a C.
No,
you won't.
No. I'm just wondering because, it perplexes me that some people say they just don't have the ear. And I have always wondered, how does it work? I was lucky. I had great pitch. It's not as good these days. I'm not quite sure why. But I can hear it, at least. I can hear the difference, which means I can also hear when someone else is singing off pitch, which is sometimes rather painful. But I was... But I've heard... I'm thinking of one particular person who in her younger days did tend to go off pitch, and she ended up being a fabulous singer, solo as well as band. I don't know what process it was, but it worked.
Yeah.
So you think there is hope for people. What about adults?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow. I love that you asked me that. Like I said, pitch to me is a thought. You hear it, you think about it, you repeat it. And
it's a discipline.
And the discipline to practice that. I had a wonderful student that came to me. He was 78 years old at the time. His name was Dan Streit, just a fabulous man. And he said, "Lisa, I want to learn to sing." I said, "All right."
Wow.
And he came in and he studied and he showed up every week, mm-hmm. and he learned to sing. And he learned to sing beautifully. And he was singing at the county fair.
Wow.
And he sang at our recitals. And the neat thing about him is we would have performance classes at the school. And the kids, you know, your teenagers and whatnot, would come there and sing for each other mm-hmm. to work on their performance skills. And we were getting ready to start a class one day. And a couple of the kids looked up and said, "Is Dan coming?" I said, "Yes, I believe he'll be here." "Oh, good. I just love hearing him sing."
Sweet.
Oh, my gosh. That is so wonderful.
Yeah. Beautiful.
He was just a really, really sweet guy.
Yeah.
No, I don't think there's an age limit. If you're willing to work at it, absolutely.
So there's hope for everyone. So what is your background that brought you to this in music?
Lifelong love of music. I just never imagined myself doing anything else. And it's all Mrs. Opie's fault in the fourth grade. She started playing piano and having us sing, and it was just my favorite part of the day.
Where did you
grow up? Probably sang the loudest and probably the most off key, and it didn't matter to me because I loved it.
I love it. Where did you grow up?
Pardon?
Where did you grow up?
Oh, a tiny little town called Lagunitas, California.
Okay. And was your family involved in music or musical?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People?
Yes. Yeah, just loved music. I grew up listening to all kinds of different music.
Mm-hmm.
My dad worked for a couple of musicians when I was young. He did some work for Van Morrison, built a recording studio for him, and did some work for the Grateful Dead and whatnot. So it seems like we were always around musicians when I was young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that can be inspirational, too.
Wonderful.
Well, I'm thrilled that you managed to find your way through to this because I didn't realize that you're almost 20 years doing this.
Yes, we are.
Good for you. Okay, so you started in your apartment, which tells me that you were doing this on your own. Now it sounds as though you've got a whole bunch of other people teaching, not singing, but other.
Absolutely.
Tell us.
I would love to tell you about that. We have seven teachers now.
Ooh,
and we teach just about everything with the exception of banjo and harp. So
no prejudice against the banjo, of course.
No, absolutely not. We don't have a lot of call for banjo lessons, and I have not yet come across a banjo teacher. So if you're out there, please give me a call.
Okay. There you go.
But, we have the wonderful Vincent Centeno-Jones.
Oh, yes.
Yep, beginning to advanced piano and also beginning woodwinds and brass wind instruments. We have the wonderful Judy Anderson. She teaches violin and viola for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have the amazing Angela Peterson. She teaches violin, viola, cello, and bass.
Right.
Wonderful Jason Lambert, who is teaching our guitar and bass, both acoustic and electric, on both of those.
Mm-hmm.
We have the fantastic Shelley Loring.
Mm-hmm.
She teaches flute and piano.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also a licensed kinder music teacher, which is our program for little kids and their parents. It's a development program that uses music. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the fabulous Miss Kristen Hammond, and she teaches beginning to advanced piano plus the organ. Paul Brady, who is just a wonderful human being, and he teaches beginning to advanced piano.
Wow.
And I think, and me. I teach beginning to advanced vocal studies,
mm-hmm.
and I also teach piano.
Wow, you got a lot of piano.
Kinder music.
Oh, you do? You're also involved in the kinder. So, a lot of piano, it sounds like, too. And are most of the students local?
We have students that come from Clatsop County, then we have students that come from Pacific County, and then we have a lot of students that come from South County, too.
Okay.
South Clatsop County, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. We have students that come from all over. Right now, because of the pandemic, we've been teaching online.
How does that work for you?
Well, we just do it the same way Juilliard's been doing it, Zoom classes. Mm-hmm. And it's so far so good. It's much more beneficial, I think, to teach in person, but we do what we can with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the reason that I was so grateful that you wanted to talk today, because June 1st, we are going to open or reopen to in-person lessons with safety protocols in place. And I wanted to get the word out about that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Susan Peterson, so for letting me know. And I said, oh, I'd love to have Lisa in because I know what good work you do. I didn't realize it's been this long and you have this many instructors, which is terrific. And I'm thinking this, I don't know that there's anything else like this in the immediate area. Is there?
I don't think so. I think there's a number of places that offer lessons in Seaside and Astoria and whatnot, but not to this degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I love all the music teachers. I know most of them around, and I think they do a great job. So
I'm sure
happy to be part of the community.
I'm sure it's a tight community too. Everybody.
Yeah. Yes, we do. We also teach some satellite classes over in Long Beach. So,
And do you ever do recitals, stuff like that?
Oh, thank you for the question. Yes, we do 2 recitals a year.
Oh.
One for the winter semester and one for the spring semester. Our winter semester recital is held at the Liberty Theater.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course, we're in the middle of a pandemic, then it's not. So we've had that there for the past 3 years, I think. It's been quite delightful, minus this year, of course. And then the spring recital we held up in the big hall at the Presbyterian Church, which is quite lovely in the spring because it's you can smell all the flowers, and it's a really big hall with good acoustics. And we're so grateful that they have us there and take really good care of us. So it's a really wonderful historic building.
And when you do that, you feature singers as well as musicians?
Yes, everyone.
Okay. So what's the age range in terms of your students now? Now that you told me about, oh dear, what is his name, Dan?
Yes, Dan.
Okay. Being 78, I'm going, oh, wait a minute. This kind of, this throws the medium off. So who's your youngest and oldest age-wise?
Well, dear sweet Dan has passed away, so we rest in peace and we think of him often.
Mm-hmm.
But the youngest performers we have are usually 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't require adults to participate in our recitals because they're usually a little more skittish than the kids.
Yeah.
Go figure. but we welcome them if they wish to. And we have had adults over the years that just love to perform and get out there and do that with the kids.
Yeah.
And so we encourage it, but we don't require it. And the kids just love it. They get dressed up and do their thing.
Well, it's part of the whole experience, I think.
It is.
It's sort of a gestalt there. See what it feels like to be there. And,
Absolutely.
This is wonderful. I don't know how I have missed the recitals because I usher at the Liberty, so I must have been out of town or something.
I don't know, but I will. We're there.
I'll catch it next time for sure, and maybe I'll even come to you and ask you if there's hope for me, because my voice has definitely changed in many ways. But We'll talk about that. But how would people get hold of you if they are interested for themselves or their children or whatever?
Well, we have a brand new website at Astoria, www.astoriamusic.com. And you can email from that website. You can also just email directly, lisa@astoriamusic.com. Or you can give us a call at the office, 503-325-3237. Or you can also give me a call on my phone, 503-298-0338. And all of this information is on the website.
Okay. You got a really nice web domain, astoriamusic.com.
Yes.
Couldn't be easier. That's excellent. Excellent. Okay. I'm talking to Lisa Nelson, Astoria Conservatory of Music. And Lisa is the mostly singing. And then there are seven other teachers. And she does other stuff, too. And seven other teachers as well. So go to the website and see what they've got. And see if this might be just the right thing for you. Anything else you want to tell us, Lisa? This is very exciting. You're reopening for live classes. Is that right? June 1st?
Live classes, June 1. Okay. And just to let folks know that we are a school, so we will be following all COVID protocols. The masks will be required, and there will be distancing, and there will be HEPA air purifiers so that we all stay safe because the little guys, you know, they're not vaccinated. So
right.
There you go.
Right.
So other than that, though, but the music plays on, and we're here to help you learn it. So
wonderful. And I'm especially grateful that you are, because Dee Queedy's going to be coming in a few weeks to talk about the young professionals who came out of the Astoria Music Festival, and that is continuing to go on, and so it's wonderful to realize that we have the start. Children can start, they can get inspired and start out, and who knows, they may grow into that aspect of the training as well. So working with all kinds of professionals in different ways. So thank you. I love the idea that we have a continuum. We don't just have to send people away to do stuff. So thank you so much, Lisa Nelson, Astoria Conservatory of Music.
Thank you, Carol.
You bet. Bye-bye. KMUN Astoria, folks, the arts are alive and well. And I do have a piece of music. I do want to tell you right off the bat, the exhibit that I have been mentioning at the Custer County Historical Society, the Heritage Museum, it's called Away From Home. It is very important that we, as many of us, see it as possible. And it closes this week, the 25th of May. It's the only museum in Oregon that is showing this touring exhibit. And it's about the boarding schools. You can go to CCHS and find out more about it. So please do. And Jim Page is here to remind us.